New media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show, with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. And now, the captain and commander of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer.
Yes, greetings, people of tomorrow. It is your captain, along with my first officer, Commander Roxy and Jillian Stryer. Still at the Tomorrow Show's, excuse me, at the AfterBuzz Studios.
Yes, aren't you so happy?
How come you didn't offer the high five?
I don't know.
You're too tired.
You want to do a fist pump?
Okay, that's where we're moving to.
Blow it up, blow it up. Yeah, that's what the cool kids
do. Are really tired, honey.
You know what we did?
I can tell.
No, I'm ready. What we did when we were younger, did you ever see the show Rocket Power?
No.
Okay, this is what, there was a whole theme song, like, we are riders, whatever, but then go like this, put your hand lower, like, flip it like that,
okay.
And then you go like this, woogity, 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 woogity.
Woogity, woogity, woogity. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
Woogity, 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 woogity. Okay. I don't know why. Do you know that, Michael?
I've seen it. I feel like it was in Hook. Did they do it? Did Rufio do that or something?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just...
Mike wasn't allowed to watch that in the Christian school.
He's not a Rocket Power fan.
Michael Claus on the guest couch.
I'll say, like, somehow this is the first time, because I always get to watch you guys, but I don't know if it's sitting here alone today just watching you guys. I feel like I'm, like, the ultimate fan, and I'm getting the ultimate fan experience. Like, you opening the show, Roxy over there trying to do the Star Trek.
You guys know I can't. My fingers don't, like, do normal things.
And I feel like
it does work, but they're bent like they're almost broken, but you're making it happen. That's weird.
I know. I can't without...
If you're on iTunes, where it's the Spock thing. Stefan, you're in the booth. Hello, Stefan.
Hello, Captain.
Stefan, give me a little more volume. I want to hear that lovely, very distinct voice.
Stefan, you must have rocket powered.
Yes, of course.
Okay, good.
Woogity, woogity, woogity.
Yeah. And Stefan, how is the transition going?
Really good. I'm sassier than ever.
Love it.
Better than usual.
Stefan, congratulations. Actually, congratulations to both of you broads.
Ooh, broads.
Roxy.
Can we use that term?
Oh, yeah. No, that's back.
That's still allowed.
Oh, broads.
That's
cool.
Back. That's back. And,
okay.
And as well as when you say something is so the tits. That's huge,
the
too.
Tits.
Yeah.
Most important.
That's the tits. So these are like two things that I was told.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Oh, my God. The Tomorrow Show is so the tits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Retweet.
Pretty sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you two broads, Roxy this morning hosting Collider Live, which was amazing, and then also guesting on the show for the first time was our own Stefan Sabra.
Mm-hmm. She killed it.
Awesome. Rox is like the definition of what it means to be like a fully supportive, talented as fuck human.
Yeah, and friend, cool. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
friend.
But you're right. I'm glad you didn't say friend because then that has a different distinction.
Yeah,
but, you know, this is why this is wonderful. And as we try to build a new Hollywood model here at AfterBuzz, and, you know, you definitely hear a lot of my dark side and my dark inclinations. But on the brighter side, God, we just want to stop, like, what's gone on in this business, you know, forever. Not just the abuse, which I'm going to talk about some issues that came up this week that I want to talk to you guys about, but just also that whole, you know, all for me and none for you, which I guess takes place in business as well, but it seems it's most prevalent in our business. And then with women, it's worse because, you know, a lot of women feel like, hey, there's limited spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually heard minorities tell me this too. The reason that outwardly minorities seem like they support each other, but inwardly they don't because they're scared the spots are limited that they have to,
Even I understand that mentality because if you think about 90% of the shows that I'm on, of the 17 shows I do a week, there's six people, there's one woman, it's me.
Yeah.
So it's not like the industry is doing things to, it's not like the industry is doing things to show us that that's not true. But that being said, somebody a long time ago told me that you can't be an for the LGBTQ community. You can't consider yourself an ally unless you're doing something. And so I think you can't consider yourself a supporter of women unless you're doing something. So Maria Menounos started a company that has 90% women hosts here. Yeah. She can say, I support women. Mm-hmm. You, Kevin Undergaro, same thing. You guys started this company together.
Why wouldn't I support you guys? You're so fucking hot.
Thank you so much.
So sexy, but, right? Why wouldn't I support you guys? I never got why would you abuse. No, really. I've always been like the guys who abuse women like that. Well, women are fucking amazing. They're so freaking hot. Why would you abuse this? This should be honored and cherished.
Thanks,
go ahead.
Kev. Thanks. But I just think that you can't say that unless you do something.
Yeah.
You can't just mentally be like, yeah, I support women.
What yeah, but that, I love, but Rox, like? You know what? This is what's amazing. I've said in this end of the business, you know, for your age, male or female, you are the very best for digital hosting. And I'm sorry. And I, just like I said the same about Maria in entertainment journalism, does that mean, you know, Maria's the greatest filmmaker, greatest actor? Does that mean you're the greatest actress, greatest filmmaker? I don't know. Maybe you're good, or maybe there's people better than you. Maybe there's some worse. I don't know. But when it, this I do know, and I will debate it with anybody. I'll say the same thing about Sam Roberts. We are with the Not Sam Network, after all. And I want to talk a little bit about Sam's Friday show again. But I say the same to Sam all the time for his age and what he's able to do, and the fact that he, and you can tell by his Friday show, by the way, because his Friday show that he does alone, because of his producer's brain, he not only gives you great commentary, but he does such great work as a producer to bring in so many just great tidbits to comment on, and he brings in the right co-host. And anyway, you guys are all in classes by yourself. And that being said, the what I had said about Steph in our one-on-one 2 years ago, Steph, or 1 year ago?
Like a year and a half ago now.
Because right. December.
December, right. And before that, I did try to touch you inappropriately, and you did tell me not to. And I respected that.
Kevin, they
briefly.
Don't know you're kidding. What? You have to be careful.
But I said to Steph, I'm like, you, to me, you're Olivia Munn. She reminds me of Olivia Munn. You know, when Olivia Munn did G4, Attack of the Show, that was kind of the beginning
of
somebody who just was charismatic and funny and witty and smart and just something and a different kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then goes on, obviously, to we see she's a fine actress and a creator and a really brilliant lady. And you know, so the but so Steph is all those things, and as she does more here at AfterBuzz, I know we're going to be launching her own show at some point, hopefully sooner than later, like literally the next few weeks. But you know, the fact that so. It does mean a lot, Rox, that you bring someone like that over. And Steph is beautiful. She's smart. She has a, even her, the sound audible of her voice makes her very distinct. She's got a low pitch. I mean, there's just so many things about her that make you go, holy crap, I want to hire her. And like, I just love that you are, first of all, secure, but then second of all, you're that generous to do it. And it's wonderful. And you need to be commended. Kev. And I think, I hope other people see it as an example of, you know, what you can do. And, you know, Rox, like, I know you take a lot of punches every day. And I more and more, it's like you are mini Maria. You're Maria in the digital world. Maria was in the TV world. And I think it's a little harder for you because, you know, Maria had fame and fortune behind her. You have some fame, but you don't have fortune. You know, so it's hard.
Oh,
no,
you're
I know.
Telling me.
Kev. I know, and I know. And you have me, but you've got me... You know, you have me full time, but then Maria has me like every minute, you know, and like literally at that time, every part of my brain for 20 straight years was on Maria and her life and her career and nothing else, you know. And I mean, mine is on yours, but I also it's on 150 shows here and things like that. So, I mean, I as I watch you and I see your journey, I see things you're going through that Maria did. I see some of the things you're handling better than her, which I'm proud of. But I love that. That you're reaching out and doing this. And by the way, you know what else is amazing stuff? And everyone listening, why it's so amazing what you did? Just like Maria. Maria went on her audition for E.T. when she was 22.
That is so crazy in itself.
Okay. So she went on the audition. And after she's done with the audition, she goes, I don't know if you guys are going to hire me or not, but my friend Tamara Berg, who here, and John Comerford, who long time, they're like the aunt and uncle of AfterBuzz. Tammy's a jewelry maker. And she said, you know, my friend Tammy would, you know, love to dress you in jewelry. I really think you would like her line if, you know, you're at
talking
all.
Talking to who?
to Mary Hart's stylist and the producers of the show, my friend, you know, on her audition. Well, not just ballsy, but how generous and thinking. You know, I have a friend who is part of a big sitcom and was one of the leads and has like a best friend, not even a speaking line. And Maria's like, you know, Kevin, you can't be critical because that's how most people are. They just are afraid for their own spot, or then they just kind of get so tired that whatever free time they have, it's for them to enjoy their lives. And it was always so rare that Maria, on her audition, put her neck out on the line for a friend. And this, why bring it back to you, Rox, this is your first time hosting this show, like Collider, or no?
I did one time before.
Okay, so this was a big day for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this is one of the leading morning digital shows that we have. And the fact that on your day you put your neck out to say, hey, give my friend a shot. It's amazing, and it's wonderful.
Thanks,
and of course,
Jeff.
Steph, you answered the bell because you're amazing too. But I think it's just wonderful, Rox.
Well, I've been one teacher for 10 years, Kevin, and it's you. So anything I do, that's in line.
Well, sometimes I get nervous because I say I've made you too Catholic. Mm. We need the Greek. We need the Jew. We need the
Jew's still here.
Yeah, we need that because some.
What do you call it? Dragon blood.
Yeah,
Jewish dragon's blood.
Jewish dragon
blood. Yeah, I have some of it in me, but
she's
only
like
enough where the dragon.
Actual best.
Yeah, she is.
And everything she does good is. Her, but also you could see your teaching sprinkled in it constantly.
I think for anybody out there, like entertainment industry or not, you can't be afraid that somebody's going to take your job because that, I think a lot of people work out of that. And that's not a good place to be because here's the truth running through all the scenarios, even if you're completely cynical. I bring Steph in today, but I'm using this example because it's what we're talking about.
Sure.
But it could be anybody. You bring anybody in. If you're good at your job, then you're going to be good at your job whether they're there or not, and so you're just helping somebody. Say, for some reason, they do hire her. If she's better for the job than me, then she's better for the job than me, and then I'll go find a job that I'm better for. Like, yeah. There's no part of your brain that should be scared somebody's going to take your job, because if it's yours, you're not going to lose it. It wasn't supposed to be... It's not for you.
Well... Let me give you motivation as to why you shouldn't do that, because those people who live in that space, you're living in a constant state of fear, mm-hmm. anxiety, and darkness. And then, you know, that's much of what Maria is known, and those people who are terrified. And it's usually, again, unfortunately, it usually goes hand in hand with people who have less talent.
Yeah.
And so again, I will say it's about you.
That's why they're more afraid.
You are highly talented, so that's why you're like, it's all good. Maria, same thing. Knew she was the best, so she was like, it's okay. Like, I'd rather, it's more fun. Maria was like, it's more fun to work with people. Like, that was her attitude. But unfortunately, all the other people in her end of the business, entertainment journalism, as has been proven by all of their careers, and none of their careers went anywhere else, was because they didn't have her talent. So it was like, it was jealousy, insecurity, and not all of them, but the ones that were bad, they went from that route. But I've not seen it end well for them. Any of them that use all those tricks and those scams and those things. It's the deaths they died. Walter Winchell, great example. Steve the Steamer will know who he is. He was a gossip reporter in Rox. Like, his columns were, it was Bible. Like, every week he was the biggest thing in the world, in the country. Everyone had to read his column. And he used that column to make or break people. He destroyed a lot of people. He took a lot of bribes. He was just a gangster with a pen or a typewriter. And he even had writers doing a lot of his work for him that didn't get any credit. And you know what? At the end, when he died, only his daughter was at his funeral.
Wow.
And he was basically just faded away.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how many people that's how it ends for them. So, you know, to your point, you know, it really doesn't profit you to spend the time on yourself, man. Like, you know, our own Ashley Grace Daniels, we've been going back and forth. She's overseas right now, and a couple of speed bumps. with what she's dealing with right now.
And for some reason, I feel like the term overseas usually is reserved for military people. She's in Europe.
She's working. Europe. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say specifically where. I don't know if that's public.
I'm just saying, she's in Europe. It's pretty large there.
You guys are giving it away too much. Okay. Europe people are going to find her.
Don't you guys think that when you hear overseas, don't you guys think that somebody's on a mission?
Wherever we go, we're going to go through it together.
I didn't think that's what you were singing. You know, wherever you go, there's always someone Jewish. You're never alone when you say you're a Jew.
The Jewish person of the song.
Oh, my God.
Never heard that before.
Well, I didn't know that was a different song, and we had different adopted song. The... Okay, continue, though. So she's overseas.
Well, just dealing with, dealing with some of the... She's dealing with some speed bumps, and now I lost my train of thought. I forget what I was saying, but...
We were talking about jobs and always helping other people out and knowing you get work on yourself, you said.
Oh, yeah. I just said, listen, if you just, same thing. She's very bright, a lot of energy, excited, positive about the job, and kind of she's after buzz. So she knows I'm going to go above and beyond. And guess what? To the lazy people or the people who aren't as talented, right, you are seen as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I'm the type, when I see someone like that with talent, I'm like, I want to get close to them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ride those coattails. I want to learn. I want to get in there. But other people take a different way. And I just said, I told her, don't put the time in. They're putting all that time into that darkness, and that's all they're going to get back. So put the time into make the job, making it better, and then eventually, maybe there's another place out there. And invest the time yourself. So even those people that are investing their time into holding other people down, I just want to, just shake them and say, if you spent this much time on yourself, your career would be booming. You'd be so much happier. The stuff that I've seen some hosts do with Maria, I'd be like, I want to just tell them,
Yeah. And also, when you are working your way up, don't you want to be around people you like?
Yeah, but the mentality for a lot of this, such a deep narcissism that drives a lot of people in our business that they don't want to be around other people. They just want either fans and followers, or, they don't want collaborators.
The one caveat I will say that I think, Kevin, you're guilty of, and I've been guilty of in the past, and I wasn't this time, is that you do need to make sure that somebody has at least slightly paid their dues before you put them in that 100%. Position.
You're right.
Because Steph has been here very loyal and successful at AfterBuzz for 2 years. And so I was like, I know her, and I know she's not going to make me look stupid, A, but B, I'm not setting her up for failure because she's going to, it's going to come too easy.
Yeah, because a Catholic will take that advice we gave them, and just, then you start giving out freebies. And when you do that, the person you're doing the freebie for will never be grateful, never respect it because they didn't work for it.
Right.
And eventually 99 times out of 100, they will end up failing. As we see this with reality stars, they get fame, didn't really work for it, didn't really earn it, and then you see them implode later.
Exactly.
99 out of 100 times, they'll implode because it's not like an actor who went to Juilliard or a filmmaker that worked their whole life at this goal. So when they make it, there's a ability to manage it, But that's a really good point. It's funny you're talking about, you're one girl on a show of 10 guys. I was talking
everywhere. That's not a specific show. No, I know. Just my life.
It's everywhere, and I will tell you something. With me and Steve talked to Steve Steamer, one of our friends from the Tomorrow Show. We were going back and forth about, in entertainment news, which should be hosted by women. Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there, because
you mean only.
I think mostly because I will say, and listen, again, hey, I'm the bad guy, unless it's a gay guy, because it's mostly fashion. And you want to see what the person's wearing.
Or a straight guy who loves fashion, you mean? You just mean people who are obsessed with this.
And I'm just saying, so what I'm saying is, Rox, in general, you're right, a straight guy that checks all those boxes. But go back to the Today Show back in the day, what are the chances that a Harvard University football player is going to do a good job producing the Today Show versus a Gelman who is straight, but he's also very metro. He's very sensitive. He does Kelly and Ryan. I mean, come on. So my point is, when I think of Billy Bush, Mario Lopez, and Kevin Frazier, and I love, some of those guys I'm good friends with, to me, that should not be that's ridiculous. And E! News is now gone. They announced this week. So it's that's who, by the way, this end of the business, I get it. It's collapsing and it'll be gone soon. But there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Three men, you know what I mean? And this is not a man's end of the business. I'm sorry. Like, even that they've taken. And I will tell you that some of those guys, they got it through bullying and games and politics and hurting other people behind the scenes. You know, they didn't get it fair and square. Hmm. And most of the women that were doing it, you know, are tired and heartbroken. You know, for Maria, well, it just wasn't for her. She's happy she's away from it because it never, she's now, yeah, you know.
It's interesting because in the decade that I've known her, I mean, to be honest, and I'm not saying it's an easy job in, by any means, but Maria can do it in her sleep.
In her sleep. She just, so it's boring.
For her, it just comes easy.
It was so
I'm not saying for everybody, but for her, it just does.
It's a joke.
But it's clearly not her passion.
I'm not
saying clearly based on air. I'm saying
it's
clearly
not.
Based off knowing
it's
her.
Not.
So imagine doing something for that many years of your life that was not your passion. That's got to be challenging, but that's the biggest gig, one of the biggest gigs in the hosting on the planet.
Well, she never looked at it like that. She never looked at it like, this isn't my passion. She just was basically too busy getting punched in the face, to be honest, to think of anything other than, oh my God, please just get me to safety somewhere. It was, you know, that's more what it was. Now that she's meditating and healing, you know, now it's like, hey, you know what? Like, I liked the news and telling stories. And I think what Maria liked, she doesn't hate entertainment news, but what she likes is fandom. Like, Maria's the one who goes, oh my God, have you seen 90 Day Fiancé? It's amazing. Shut up. You need to listen to me. Or Breaking Bad. It's the most incredible show. Or The Sopranos. Like, so she wants to come from that side of, let's talk about how we make, what amazing television is on the air, how we making it, how we get, that's what she's into. She is not into the gossip or any of that stuff.
It's too surface level for her now.
Yeah. And it always was.
Well, I don't
that
even
part,
know if it's surface level.
Just the negative
just a
stuff.
Different interest. Like, I don't think fashion is surface level.
No, she likes the fashion. Yeah. No, I'm talking about the stuff about the gossip and the,
I don't even know if that's surface level, because
I'm saying for Maria.
Just
you know.
different level.
Well,
different planes.
Yeah, I guess, but the but some of the gossip is just so hurtful.
That's true, but some of it is passion. Some people are so obsessed with the Kardashians. They're so passionate about them. They love them so much that they just want to know all the things about rose petals from Travis to Kylie.
Well, listen, to each their own.
No,
I get it. You're right. And you're right. Without that kind of fandom, none of us would be employed. You're right.
Yeah, I think that it's just
But remember, the thing is, most of what usually doesn't sell or get a click is the positive stuff. It's usually the negative stuff, and then I would say 50% of negative stuff is bullshit. And that's why Maria was like, I
get this question
I want to be part of this.
All the time, Kevin. All the time, because people know that we're close, and everybody wants to know, what is Maria's next dream job? What is her next thing that she really would like, whether it is something that exists now, like a Ryan and Kelly Today Show, The View, The Talk type thing, or if it is something that she invents, or if it's
I don't know.
Does she know?
No. And I'll tell you something to really make me further villainize me. She's never known. I've always known for her.
Tell me what that means.
Well, you know, one of my gifts is that I always can see 5 or 10 years ahead. You know, sometimes even longer. And, you know, most of the things that I put Maria into were stuff she didn't either get or didn't want to do.
Like WWE.
Dancing with the Stars, writing the book, literally almost everything, serious, everything.
But it's not like she's coming to you with things that she's dying to do and you're like, no, that's not what you want to do.
Never. It's just his thing. Maria is classic Greek immigrant, loves life. So if we called her today and tomorrow and said, hey, there's a cartoon, it's hilarious, it's like, oh my God, I'm in. If we called her and said, hey, it's a new singing competition show and, you know, it's whatever, blank, blank, and she likes it, oh my God, I'm in. Like, she just, that she gets it from the dad. They just love life. And that's why it's sad when that kind of spirit gets beat up. It's tragic, and shame on anyone who's done that. Probably bring me into my next subject that I want to talk about tonight. But yeah, so with her, I have lots of plans. I have a full playbook, and as time goes and she's getting stronger, you know, now, and she's resting and she's not being punched in the face and she's breathing and she's seeing friends and she's, you know, and she's getting so many calls to do stuff and she's just weighing things out and, you know, she's just living by, then whatever she does work-wise, it needs to either be fun or have a purpose. Or she's not doing it. that's it. And she's like, don't bother me. So I'm like, okay. So I worry about everything else. But I think, and the more she comes out of it, the more she's able to see, like, oh my God, we have built the 21st century version of E! News here.
At AfterBuzz.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael Klaus, editor-in-chief, we're breaking news now every day here, and we're launching great shows. And tonight, I think we're going to talk to Jeff Graham, who's launching Bachelor News Daily.
Juicy Bachelor News coming in for news. And so we decided, well, let's have Jeff Graham. He's been covering it the last couple of days on our new show, Bachelor News Daily. Going to be able to come in and be able to give us all the 411 going on. Someone dropped some receipts and text messages.
I've been seeing
very
crazy stuff there, Michael. I don't even know what's going on.
It's amazing.
I'm interested to hear when we get to that point of your guys' take on like what is appropriate with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he almost felt the guy Blake into a corner. But so Jeff,
you have to be specific because you're getting a little too cryptic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's stuff that happened on The Bachelor this week.
Oof.
And stuff in real time, text messages that were released, and we will cover it later on the show. Absolutely. With Jeff Graham, a.k.a. Jeff Scam.
Yep.
You know, earlier on I touched Mario's name came up, and I wanted to go back to Maria made me about his comments on transgender, and it's not about Mario, but Maria was concerned about some of the stuff that I said, which I don't even remember what I said.
Maria listened to our show.
Yeah, she usually does.
Thanks, Maria.
And you know what I'll say is like I really don't know what's right or wrong. How would I know? I'm not even a dad, let alone a transgender. And I just you know, brings me back to an old Happy Days episode that I recently just saw, Roxy, where the you know, a group of women. This is how far ahead Happy Days was at the time. A group of women kidnapped. They would kidnap nerds and abuse them. All these, like, biker chicks.
Nerd kids?
Yeah, nerds, like, and back in that day when a nerd was, you got terrorized. It was not cool to be a nerd. It was like, no, you were terrorized.
Square glasses, the whole...
Pocket protector, tape. But again, could do that today and be cool. I mean, we see the gorgeous kid on Floribama Shore that's been on our show rocking that look. I mean, in those days, you were beat up. You were tortured. Your books were... put in water fountains. I mean, just not a time to be it. And they had captured, I think, Richie and Ralph and some of the gang, considering them nerds. Fonz found out, was like, well, I'm the Fonz. I can take on 50 guys, but how do I fight women? So he dressed up as a nerd, and he went in there and quietly ushered the boys to escape. And then he kind of tricked the girls into letting the guys go free. And when the girls realize they've been tricked, in he walks as the Fonz. And he basically tells them, you know, how wrong it is to do this to anyone, let alone nerds. But his last line was always the greatest. Live and let live. So... with something like this, it's just live and let live. There's so much. It's like, wait, when we all get like so judgmental and so up in arms, like just live and let live. You know what I mean? Like, I get when we're hurting somebody.
Are you saying that Mario should have lived and let that person in that position? Yeah. Or you're saying that Charlize?
No, I think Mario, like Charlize, like that she's going to raise her kid how she wants to raise her kid. I mean, and we don't know enough about this because Maria, you know, starts sending me all these articles where it's proven scientifically at three, you know who you are. I don't know if I believe that, but it's like, what am I doing? Like, how can I speak to that? How the fuck do I know? You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, I just wanted to say, the more we can all live and let live, the better this country will be. We're so not doing that with every subject.
I think, I mean, obviously we're going to touch upon it in the news, but if this week didn't prove us anything, we've got bigger fish to fry right now. And
we got more people to kill.
That's what I meant by fish to fry. Yeah, more guns. For sure.
Let's go. We meet the guns with guns. Bigger guns.
That's what I was thinking.
Right?
How'd you know? Maybe we should start a gun bedazzling service.
I think, you know, it's funny. Go back to Jim and Sam, or Sam Roberts, but Jim, the Jim and Jim show, they had a wonderful take on things. And I love Jimmy because
Jim Norton,
and Sam. But they both were just like, can we just stop with both sides? Like, the right is blaming video games, the left is blaming guns. It's like, can we all just admit something's fucked up?
Something's fucked up.
And we have to, we got to start doing something rather than talking about what and theorizing what's right and wrong. And by the way, with the video games, it's like, it's really, you guys, it's the parenting. If a child is parented correctly, then he's going to know that he's, and if he has a human connection, if he has a mom, you know, look he or she in the eyes, or a dad, I love you, and hold them and touch them from those formative ages, especially from 0 to 6. And then the parent is involved in their lives enough, they'll understand, like, okay, this is a video game where I'm pushing these buttons, and this is killing a real human being.
I completely agree. I completely agree.
It starts at home.
I think that the video game argument is tired. Move on. That's not what's happening.
No.
You disagree?
I disagree.
Here's the thing is, it's the same. It could be the same with the, it could be a compromise, same with the guns. Like, if it is what it is, if the parents aren't going to be better, and if people are not going to be more responsible with guns, then we have to deal with what is, and maybe we do have to, like, try to slow them down. That's always been my thing, Rox. Try to slow both things down. Make guns less accessible. Maybe there is some censorship, some hoops to go through. I don't know.
Michael, go ahead.
Well, I think that's the thing, and kind of building off what you guys both are saying, is that everyone's trying to say, oh, it's this one issue. Oh, it's this one issue. And it's not. It's like 9 different issues, and everyone holds tight to their one issue and says, don't come after my issue. It's your issue. Don't come after mine. I think, and I was telling people this week, because I actually did some research, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Everyone talks about assault rifles, and the first assault rifle was about mid-40s. And the first main shooting that a lot of people point to was 99 in Columbine. So for 55 years, we had assault rifles readily available, and it was not an issue. There was no mass shootings going on. The last 20 years is when we've seen shooting after shooting.
And I talked about this, Mike, too, when I did the Woodstock anniversary. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, it was the 25th or 30th anniversary of Woodstock. The first Woodstock, it's like, yay, bunch of hippies in the mud, doing drugs, free love, listening to music. And you cut to 30 years later, and the whole crowd, the Gen X, just lighting everything on fire.
Of course. Yep. 100%.
So I talked to my doctor about it, and she was saying it's just the anxiety levels in this country have just steadily increased. You know, like,
I'm all for universal background checks. I am 100% of it's stupid that we do not have a background check on every single gun sold in America. 100% on board for that. But I think just looking at, like I said, there were 55 years where we had guns. Assault rifles and machine guns go back 150 years.
Yeah, but
there were not all these shootings.
But you got to deal with what is, Mike. Messed up now.
But that's where I look at the anger. So you take away the guns, and people will find other ways to hurt each other, to kill each other.
Kevin Undergaro rule of, like, that's what I'm going to run on. Deal with what is.
But I love what you guys are talking about with the parenting, because that is a huge thing, and it's something that nobody wants to talk about.
It's
but like
90% of but it, having, really,
but,
like,
but we have kids, to deal with what is.
Yeah,
because
course.
You know, you between parents who are absent or having to work to support the American dream, or just work to perform the table, or just the parents who are too busy on Facebook. Because, by the way, being on Facebook, sorry, honey, I mean to do that to you. I almost spilled a drink. But being on Facebook and, you know, trying to find your high school or college crush is awesome too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take that away from some parent, Mike.
Well,
if they want to spend their time on Facebook and not be a parent.
Let me ask you guys though, what did your parents tell you about guns growing up?
Guns are bad.
That's what they said? Guns are bad. Yeah. Did your parents own a gun?
No.
My parents owned a gun. Was taught responsibility. I went shooting.
Yeah, well, they were Midwest.
You were taught what about them? You were taught guns are fine in any occasion. Guns are fine in
I grew up in a hunting town, so they were not unfamiliar. But there was just, I guess, a feeling of, like, use them responsibly. I'm going to teach you how to use them. You're going to come across them. You might own one day. I want to be able to show you how to use it and use it responsibly, when to and when not to use it.
Was it said to you ever, you should not use this on a person unless they are harming you? Was it said to you specifically?
It was trained of where to point and where to shoot. Of you're always pointing away from people. Don't even consider having this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, clearly you had your responsible parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, that's my thing. Like, if the dogs poop outside and I see Maria being lame, I go, responsible parenting. Just pick it up.
Yeah. I just have been curious because I'm at that age now where my friends are having kids. And we've been talking about how you parent your kids and when they're asking these questions and how you introduce things. And I think that the worst thing you can do is say nothing and just hope they figure it out.
Like, yeah, no, you have to get involved today.
You have to, because it's too, like you said, we can only deal with what is. But, Michael, I already know that you're going to hate this.
But you've got to get them Instagram accounts, like, immediately.
As a baby, you have to have
it. By age two at the latest.
Two?
Oh, you're not.
6 months.
6 months, and you're not getting the following, right?
You have 9 months that you know they're coming out.
Way
out. You have that much time to prepare.
What were you doing?
I think you start when they're in the womb.
You start taking pictures in the womb. You get them, but you get them the address if you love them. Love this.
I'm
learning so much. I'm going to write this down.
I don't know if you saw this. Michael, I know you're going to hate it. Steph, I know you're going to love it. Kevin, not sure how you're going to feel. Did you guys see Gloria Steinem's quote about guns?
No.
Okay.
Who? Gloria Steinem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. This was what she said that spoke to my whole soul. She said, how about we treat every young man who wants to buy a gun like every woman who wants to get an abortion? Mandatory 48-hour waiting period, parental permission, a note from his doctor proving he understands what he's about to do, a video he has to watch about the effects of gun violence. Let's close down all but one gun shop in every state and make him travel hundreds of miles, take time off work, stay overnight in a strange town to get a gun, make him walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death, people who call him a murderer and beg him not to buy a gun.
Michael Handelis. Gloria, it's a child, not a choice! Sorry.
Point being,
Stefan.
And I know
we're
on opposite sides of the abortion fence, if that is a fence.
Sorry.
But and I'm not saying that all of these things are actual things that we should implement, but I do think that
that's a pretty good argument.
When it's something,
it's a good statement.
When you are holding something that can take another life, we train people to drive their car more than we train people to shoot a gun.
And we say the same about parenting, too.
We actually had hunter safety classes in high school.
You did.
But which is good.
Listen, anything to slow them down,
I don't know if it makes them more connected to human beings to not pull the trigger, but at least if we have all these checks and if you don't pass your psychological profile, then maybe you don't get a toy gun.
Yeah.
It's just weird because I don't know if you guys know this about me. I actually got my my gun license or whatever it was
Stefan.
At 8 years old.
Wow.
And I
well, at 8,
I want nothing to do with them at all, but I also think that
But at 8 you needed it to defend yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I was dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
But the quote Roxy just said, it just brings up the points that sometimes the issues we're fighting so much on, the more we evolve as society, it loses all I can't logically justify why you would need something that shoots out thousands of rounds in minutes. I don't get it.
Because it's my right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why don't you talk to the founding fathers then?
I know.
Stefan.
Yeah, because they were literally taking
it's my right to bear arms.
4 minutes to reload one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steph, it all works on paper for you guys.
Not the same as you, Steph, but I grew up with a gun in the house.
Nice.
We always had a gun in the house. We knew where it was.
Yeah. I think because your dad dealt with a lot of cash.
Oh, for sure that. And also, he came from the rock and roll industry and many times had to have a gun. So,
that's right. Well, because you're carrying the briefcase cash all in that business.
Mm-hmm. And so
cashola, baby.
So I'm not somebody, I'm not on the extreme side where I think that no person.
I'm into pea shooters and shotguns. I think that's fine for everybody, with again, the right things. But again, my mentality is slow them down. I wish everyone could come to the table and everybody give something. So listen, I don't want to see censorship. I hate how you guys have ruined, your generation's almost destroyed comedy. I hate it. But if censoring the video games a little bit is going to help, doing some control on the guns.
I'm fine trying it.
But if we, everybody, sure. like, is our goal to be this freaking country? It's like everyone in our society now just has to be right and has to win. By the way, and that's Trump. It's just one, 100%. That old mentality of I have to win. And I don't win in this debate or this negotiation unless I destroy you. You know, everything is win. Everything is I'm right. Yeah. Everything, you know, like, rather than what is the end goal? Like, do we all, you know, because you all have children. And your kids are going to go to school. It's like I say to the people in the Me Too movement. You guys, some of you have daughters. You think it's going to be different for them?
And you all had a mom.
And you all had a mom.
We have a great meme from our very own Stephen Lemieux up here.
We can't see it. What is it?
Oh, okay. It's Trump and two other people and says, we've got to stop this gun violence. Any idea from Trump? Someone says, ban video games with guns, report mental health students. Someone says, maybe tighter gun control laws. And Trump's like...
He does the face.
Yeah. The fart face.
And it's sad because he had some innovative ideas and he's done some innovative things. He really has. But he just lowers the bar in almost so many other ways. And it's whatever. That's a whole other thing to get into. But both sides have that mentality.
Absolutely.
Of like, is I'm right, you're wrong, I'm better than you, you're lower than me, and we need to just win rather than... What should be the goal is how do we curb these shootings? And there's, you know, and again, I don't want to think like I'm some innovator to think that. It was just Sam and Jim. I got it from their show, but it's true.
Do you guys think that this gets better or it gets worse?
Worse.
Michael?
For now.
I want to say there will be a short-term better and long-term absolutely worse.
And
I think, Mike,
here's why I say no, not to interrupt you. With all those kids getting killed in Connecticut, if it didn't change then, I think it's going to get worse. Here's what, when it's going to get better is the children being raised now. That, I mean, the children, I'm saying like 0 to 10, is hopefully we start realizing that the phones, you know, are building the anxiety. It's building disconnection. It's building human disconnection. There's just so many things that are going on. I mean, even when you get to this Bachelor story, the first thing I thought of is these people are just... This is their lives. Like, it's everything is about the dopamine hit to the brain by seeing a like, watching someone else, just 24 hours, your brain going. That only just builds anxiety. But I'm going to hope that in the future generations, we're going to actually know how unhealthy this is, and we're going to really have timeouts, and this will be managed. You know,
but
to a degree.
They won't know anything else, Kevin. You really think that the future generations that grew up...
Here's how it usually goes.
Hiding under desks.
Yeah, but it's usually the parents, when they grow up to be adults and go, back in our day, we did this, and we got to now stop. And that's what you have to hope is that... And by the way, there's been generations who like realize the parents are morons and go, you know, the way our parents raised us, you're idiots. Like, so, you know, think of how the young generations now laugh at Facebook. You know what I mean?
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why Facebook's all older people now. You know that, Rox. Are you really on Facebook?
My sister.
Is she really on Facebook?
Yeah.
She's Snapchat, though. I don't know. I'm starting to question Sky because she's checking a lot of boxes.
They do Facebook, Snapchat,
I've just seen a decrease. I know a massive decrease. Instagram, yes. But my point is, it's mostly seeing what the parents do and being like, that's not cool. And I think that I think we're going to get there, but it might not be for 20, 30 years. It may not be. But I think we're going to find out that, and there'll be literally nature timeouts and putting your feet in grass. Like, they think they're going to know, because this is all so new, you guys. This is so rapid, what's going on. And I can't tell you how detrimental this is. You know, how the phones and the internet. By the way, I love technology. I wouldn't get rid of it. I love it. I love life with it. But I'm seeing the effects on what it's doing.
Kevin, do you think that there will be a difference, Trump or whoever it ends up being, Biden? Do you think it makes a difference who's going to be the president?
Nope, because they're now the other extreme. So I'm going to say they're fucking morons, too. I don't see anyone yet. Like a nice moderate who's going to come up and go, stop the madness on both sides and let's start over. I don't see anybody. Yeah, so to me, it's like, I don't. I think that Obama could land the plane. And what I mean by that is someone who's calm and, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what.
Could.
And I feel he was regal. I think Clinton was. I think Bush Sr. was. I think I'm a fan of Reagan. I just, for a lot of reasons. Bush was not smart and not effective, and then this guy just was just a whole other
this guy being Trump.
Yeah, I mean, but what he's put out there, you guys, he's put that out there, and now they're, because he's shown how it works, the left now behaves like him in their own way. And, so I think we survive it all, because we always do as human beings. And listen, I wouldn't be a fan of the Star Trek series because they always believe that mankind would survive it all. And so I feel like we will. But I think that, no, I think it's lunacy to the other extreme.
Do you
lunacy.
Think in the next 50 years we'll be in a civil war?
No.
You do not think so?
Nah. Hmm. Nope. Nah.
Michael, what were you going to say?
I feel like we always...
Too lazy for it, rocks. I feel riots like, and things like that, yeah. But too lazy.
I feel like we are almost all in a stage now of you can only react. Because we're trying to be reasonable with unreasonable people, with crazy people.
Yeah, and by the way, who's we being reasonable? I don't know. I don't really see anyone out there being reasonable.
And that's the thing of, like, you look at, oh, this, well, I think this politician could do it. Or I think this politician. No, because no. you can't stop the one crazy person. And it gets back to what it is of, like, oh, well, are we all vulnerable? Yeah, we're all vulnerable. We're talking about if someone wants to, you know, actually cause some harm, walk up to a sports stadium. You're not going through a security detector until you get into the stadium.
But
people,
Michael,
are all walking up.
Like, why do you think that other countries are doing better?
Because they're not facing...
I'm talking about with this specific issue, by the way, not just in
general. I think because they have a different culture.
Different culture.
It's a different culture.
By the way, we're a cowboy culture. We've always been a bunch of cowboys. We've always been ass kickers. We've always been like, what did you say to me? Like, we've been the rebels.
You can't tell us what to do.
And and there's been a lot of greatness with that,
always been a mass shooting culture.
No, because, the anxiety levels, Roxy, is so...
Don't you think that's in multiple cultures?
No, I think it's still more simple. Like in Greece, they look at us, they're like, "What you guys are still working?" Like we deal with the there's a 1% over there that we're blessed enough to know, and they don't when I compare them to the 1%, how hard the 1% I know works here, it's a joke. They're like they're very, even their food, everything, their lifestyle is different.
They don't have the societal pressures.
The whole siesta concept.
This place is just push
wild.
push.
Kev, don't you all? I feel like I've thought about this for a long time. Like, why the hell is this happening? I agree with the stress levels and the anxiety and like all of the way that we're raising our kids. But I also think there's this level of compassion and
that's
just gone. Like, we don't understand like how important each human life is, and it's clear. Like we the fact that you could just take someone off Earth is the biggest.
Yeah, it's desensitized.
Yeah, it's completely desensitized.
That's along with the anxiety and stuff too. But again, I have to say, I blame the phones and the internet. I do. I just reduction in parenting, and I think also spoiling children. You don't feel. So when you don't let your kid fall and skin his knees and feel pain, then what happens? And then when all their joys are, you know, their Christmases, their birthdays, whatever it is just, and every, you know, and I just know so many parents from like my generation and older who wanted these perfect fairy tale existence for the first 18 or 22 years of the kids' lives. I want them to have the life I didn't have. And, you know, we know it here because I have to deal with the parents who call me at AfterBuzz. No, my Susie, she works best this way. She needs these days off. These are the hours to work around. It's unbelievable. And I've had even my attorneys have to deal with some of these people. And they're like in shock. They're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, this is what's out there, guys. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all part of it. I don't, you know, again, I don't know. I think in time we'll figure it out. But yeah, no, it doesn't look so good around the corner, Rock. So
I don't think so either.
Interpersonal, listen, microtransactions, be decent in your microtransactions and focus on your yourself and as best you can. And I'll tell you, try to quiet the mind chatter in your brain. Use your brain for solutions and creating things and everything after that. Just try to shut it off. Everything else is mind chatter. Just try to shut it off. I was going to say really quick, we don't have a lot of time. I wanted to bring up the subject of revenge, which the Klingons say is a dish best served cold. But, you know, 20 years ago or more, you know, my life really took a big nosedive. You know, I had lost my film. I went bankrupt. I was practically homeless. lost all my connections, had a lot of bad things happen to me, and a lot of people, bad people doing bad things to me. And I remember saying, you know, thank God it was, I was right around 30, and that used to be the time where you really had said, there's no more, I can't pretend I'm a child anymore. I really am an adult now. Now it's more like 44, 45, I think. But back then it was 30. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I remember just saying, okay, all these, the God of my life just get into such a bad place. And I'm like, I don't know. But what are the things I'm, what are things I just, I don't do right in my life? Is I just ask myself. And I'm like, you know, I've never been like respectful of my relationships with women.
So this is pre-Maria.
Yeah. And I said, so you know what? If I meet somebody, I'm going to be a good boyfriend. I'm going to value their free time. I'm going to do things they like to do. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to just make it all about me. No, this was just me. I had no money for therapy.
So you're just by yourself.
I just was like, what am I doing wrong in life? Okay, that's one thing. You know, with my girlfriends, it was all about my life and things I wanted to do. And it was never about them or their happiness. So, you know, I knew I was just a dick. I'm like, okay, that has changed. And then the other thing was like, well, I'm a Boston guy. I'm an Italian guy and roots to Sicily. So maybe no surprise that I could be vengeful. And though I never attacked anyone who didn't attack me first, but anyone who did attack me, oh, yeah, I went at them and I went at them hard, sometimes with my fist, sometimes with my mouth, sometimes in other ways. And I knew, I was like, you know, vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is for, Michael would tell you, for who? For the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I would
Michael
say,
Michael did not know the answer to that.
Wow. I caught him off guard.
I mean, I didn't know this was an actual answer. One of the
vengeance is mine, saints. Saith the Lord. Or better yet, vengeance is mine, saith the universe. Like, you have to let the universe and other people work it out.
But the Lord.
Yeah. But it's funny, because, again, you know, going back to Trump, I remember early on, one of the things that I didn't like about Trump 10 years ago is he said, any of your enemies, hunt them down and get revenge on them. And I'm like, oh, boy. It's just not a good message. I'm sitting with Anthony Scaramucci, to name drop, at a lunch, and he was telling me about his life. Well, I don't know, a couple months ago. Feels like, right? Sick. You remember, Rox, when I went, met him.
I just didn't know you met recently, yeah.
And we were talking, and he was telling me about his life and his experience. And our experience was very similar because we both grew up Italian, working class. And I told him about, you know, 20 years ago, I took an oath of no revenge, my no revenge policy. And he asked me something which was a great question. He said, and has your life not been better since you did? Because I was saying, it's really freaking hard to honor that oath, especially when someone's attacking you or one of your loved ones. And he's asked me that, has your life not been better? And I'm like, yeah, like a zillion percent better. If you know where I live and you know, like anything about me, I'm anything but homeless and without a career and without friends and without family and without, you know what I mean? Like, so every part of my life has gotten better. So this last week, I found out that an agent in Hollywood died. And he was somebody that tortured Maria for maybe the last 16 or 17 years.
What do you mean?
Well, he was Maria's agent, and she was working at Channel 1 at the time. Channel 1 was known as like a, it was like AfterBuzz. It was a place you start your career. But, and you know, some of the hosts there were made up to $250,000 a year. But classic of the Maria, you know, poor girl, immigrant girl from Medford, Maria got $35,000. Which is kind of a joke. I'm like, literally. And I
living in New York
and by
City.
Way, it was in LA. Yeah. And I remember even at the time, I was older. And I had enough years in the business to know, like, okay, she's going to be a huge star, and I'm laughing, and all these people you're paying $250,000 to that are just going to do nothing for you, but okay. And, you know, when years before Anderson Cooper, who worked there, he got his big job. He was in a 2 or 3 year contract. They let him out, cake and balloons. Lisa Ling signs a new deal with them, with Channel 1. 2 weeks later, ABC and The View hires her, rip up the contract, cake and balloons. And literally everyone in the company gets that. Except who?
Maria.
A year and a half in, the EP of the show just stopped using her and started promoting some other person that he actually was sleeping with. And then when Maria was, you know, pitching them stories, and he would take the stories and give them to his girlfriend, Maria's like, I want to get out of here. So we submitted her tape, and of course, as soon as E.T. saw it for a show called E.T. on MTV, they were like, not only do we want Maria on MTV, we want her on the big show. This girl's a phenom. So go to Channel One and tell them, no, we're not letting her out. And the agent at the time, I said, you know, you're William Morris. Go tell this guy, like, there's going to be problems. You've literally, in the 10-year history of the company, I have over a dozen examples. And then even all producers said, no, it's an unwritten rule here. We all know, like, we're the minors, and we let, you know, and we're happy for every, no. And this sleazebag was more interested in signing one of the producers that was cock blocking the deal. So he was playing Switzerland. So, Rox, you know me by now. They were like, no, you just wait. And in a year and a half, maybe E.T. will call. Well, guess what? In our business, there's no opportunity.
Yeah, 3 months, like, it's out.
The girl grew up poor her whole life. There were moments they couldn't even eat. You really think that, I mean, you really think we're not getting that job at E.T.? So, it's okay. And I ended up going around, and I went to the head of the CEO of Prime at the time and said, you got a problem on your hands. I don't have the problem. You got it. Here's why. This is personal discrimination. And I said, I'm just going to hire an attorney and we'll figure it out. Nope, no need for that, Kevin. You are 100% right. You're out of the deal. And then, you know, when we went to the producer who got his ball snipped off for doing that screamed at our agent. Then our agent called, screamed at us. So I was like, okay, I'll give you one. Fine. Okay. Then we went to our, like, victory dinner with E.T., takes us to dinner to celebrate, and this guy spends the whole dinner knocking Maria down.
The agent came to the dinner.
And everything went back to, oh, yeah. It was just like, how dare you go around me? How dare you, you know, hurt my new business with this clown? Which, by the way, I'm saying to myself, you are no agent. If you're putting all your money on a mid-level producer versus a talent, that's following in the footsteps of Mary Hart.
Isn't he about to get 10% of your new E.T.
Yeah,
content?
But he wanted both and his ego.
Yeah.
And his ego. And he was like, I'm still getting the 10%, but you're going to behave. And so basically, like, just kept putting Maria down the whole dinner and kept saying, like, you need to listen to your people, and you need to listen, and you need to learn, and you obviously have a problem with thought, like, right in front of the new bosses. So I said, okay, no, that's it. He's fired. So we did it, you know, like, hey, it's been real. You'll get your 10% of this deal. You'll get paid the next 3 years for doing nothing, but we're out. This guy spent 15 years, Roxy, slandering, torturing, everything he could do to stop, cock block us from Maria, from jobs, everything.
How do you know?
Oh, because that's why I always laugh. Like, at people, like, I have a publicist. We've now for 20 straight years, we've never taken time off. So the few times things got dropped, I knew. We always found out, oh, no, it was page six. They can find, you know, Gary Mantu, she had all his friends would tell us. And then, like, I worked on all the shows, and I'd been in show business for 10 years. Just would make like 3 or 4 calls and say, tell me the truth, what's going on? Well, this guy came in and said, this guy, his name, oh, interesting. So, and he would shoot his mouth off to mutual friends all the time about her. And he just wouldn't stop. And about 10 years ago, I saw him in the NBC commissary and said, okay, that's it. He's the one.
And you went over to him?
I started to go over and I said, I just saw him sitting there all cocky. And I said, I'm going to show this guy. And by the way, I'd heard from many other, I'll pushing my buttons further, as many of other female celebrity friends of ours, he had done the same thing to. And I said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to allow myself one shot. I'm going to hit him right square in the jaw. I'm going to tell him it's coming. So don't think it's a cheap shot. I'm not a cheap shot artist. Give him a chance to defend himself, but I'm giving him one. And then Maria's assistant at the time, this girl, Kate, who's, we're still so close to her. She's so sweet and just has big blue eyes. And she saw in a side of me she'd never seen before. Like the look that only comes around now only once, and probably never will come around again, but it was that look.
Yeah, because she's also just like this
sweet. And she said, Kevin, yeah. Kevin, what's the matter? What's the matter? And I just knew she'd be traumatized the rest of her life if she saw it. I just said, Kate, please get me out of here. And she got me out.
What do you think would have happened if she wasn't there?
I would have smashed.
No, but I mean like after that.
Oh, it would have been a mess. Probably would have sued me, and then I would have said,
you didn't do it.
That's the hard part, because the few times that like I did defend myself, like I feel pretty good about it against the people who deserve it. So no, yes, I am glad. I'm glad because you get the reputation in our business.
And Maria would have been pissed.
I think Maria would have felt bad for me, to be honest. She would not have been pissed. No, because she knows how hard it is as a man to, you know, you're so emasculated, you're trying to defend your loved one. And she would have, no, she would have admired it, but would have said, okay, probably not the smartest move,
Kev. Yeah.
So, no, it would have been, and he would have sued me and whatever, and then we would have taken it from there. And then still, he wouldn't have won, because there's fail-safes in place for that. I purposely put into place so I can protect Maria if someone ever does try to sue me. So he would have gotten nothing. And then he probably would have kept coming, and then eventually, he would have known the next wave would have come. And it would have begotten more violence. It would not have been good. But I didn't do anything. And yet he kept going. And he kept going. And he died last week. And I was happy he died. And then, you know, being a Catholic, then got all guilty that I felt happy. But then I was like, but he never stopped. Like, literally just a month ago, still doing his shit. And it's like, you have a right to value yourself that's, it's not revenge. Where you can value yourself enough to go, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to feel bad that a guy that was trying to hurt Maria is alive anymore. And then it was so funny, Jillian Barbary, so if anyone knows Jillian, just you know, super famous, awesome lady, she tweeted out, like, yeah, this all you phonies saying this guy's such a great guy. Like, this guy, I was 7 months pregnant. He sued me, made my life a living hell. And then I called her on the phone. I'm like, Jillian, I'm like, I never knew. And she told me about six other girls, famous women, I didn't know that he terrorized and did the same shit to.
Did Maria say anything?
No, Maria didn't even know.
I'm saying recently, about herself. Yeah, because if Jillian put that out, as Maria put
because you know what? One thing, again, about Maria is, like, she doesn't, her dad, too, like, they just have this way. I don't know if it's compartmentalizing. I don't know what it is. They just have a way of, like, I'm not going to think about that anymore. Hmm. And they don't get upset about it. I'm the type that just, I think about it, and it just, I see red. And they have a healthier way of going, like, it's over, so, you know, easy. But, you know, it brings me to the subject of revenge. I never took revenge. And even now, I'm tempted to write some kind of article. Like, Pierce Morgan wrote this long article about this guy and what an amazing person he is. Like, no, Pierce, he's not.
But do you think Pierce thinks that? Because he
probably, because to a guy, yeah, he was probably great to him. But all the women he bullied, and by the way, like, Ryan Seacrest fired him, Carson fired him. You know what? He didn't fucking go after them. He didn't go after them. Just a bully and a misogynist who was like, no, fuck you, you broad. You're not fucking telling me how to run my business. Hmm. You know? So fuck him. He's gone. And, like, that's it. And I didn't take the revenge. And I'm proud I didn't take revenge. And I think that life's been better without revenge. But I think we do have a right to, if someone's going to keep attacking you, you have a right to either try to stop them, defend yourself, or certainly I don't have to be happy.
That you're on the point.
Or I don't have to be sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
And maybe it didn't even need to bring any of this up. I don't know.
No, I think it's
But when I watch Roger Ailes, I'm watching The Loudest Voice, you guys, and it's making me violent. It's just, poor Gretchen Carlson, those poor women. And again, I'm not a cuck. You know what I mean, Rox? I'm not a snowflake. I just have lived with this for 20 years. What these assholes have done, you know? And anyway, it just pushed every button. And it's funny, now Maria watched it, and now she's like, it got her charged up. And I don't know, there's a whole other layer to Me Too that no one's touched yet. And it's the emotional abuse, and it's the power abuse. It's not just sex.
Yeah, I think it will have a different name. Different movement name.
Maybe. Anyway, so like I said, I just ranted. I probably
shouldn't have. Kevin, it's interesting.
But I just feel bad for you guys.
I think you're right for feeling that way. And I've been thinking about that a lot this week as well, as I'm just dealing with some of my own stuff.
Yeah, you're getting beatings too.
And I think that there are two people on the planet where my life would be better if they were not here. And I thought about that the other day. I was like, yeah. I really wish two people would die.
Yeah.
And that feels like such a really shitty thing to feel.
No, but if they're trying to destroy your life,
yeah, exactly.
Then like it's only healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have two.
Listen, it all goes back to TV for me. The original Kung Fu series, Kwai Chang Kane killed the royal nephew. And that's why he ran to the United States and the bounty hunters were all trying to get him. But his master, the royal nephew killed one master. The one master who was alive, Master Khan, basically forgave him. He's like, I took a life. I'm sorry, master. I've disgraced you. He said, no. He said, Master Po was still alive. Had you run away, you would have been a coward. Had you stood there and just let this man shoot you, you would have been a fool. So see, it all goes back to we learned live and let live from the Fonz. Master Khan on Kung Fu taught us, you would be a fool to just want to have someone continue to exist that's trying to hurt you. And by the way, I know some of the people rocks with you. And in our business, they're just, I say it all the time, in our business, it's not just fame, it's not just fortune online, it's fame and fortune. So we have greed and we have sickness. And you mix those two things. Like when you get in someone's radar on this, you did someone's crosshairs in this business, the lengths, the stupid lengths they'll go to destroy you. And you know, I was thinking, I think of Game of Thrones, well, more TV. You can learn it all from either wrestling or TV, I'm telling you guys.
Wrestling is TV.
Yeah, you learn it. Well, even the wrestling storylines that are in the ring. Anyway, you're right. Thank you, Roxy. but think of Cersei. Mm-hmm. I think of the queen, and you know, she, how many times did she get deals? All the way to the end, she got lovely exit packages. And nope, I'm going to kill your best friend, Khaleesi. I'm going to slice her throat off in front of all you. Ha, ha, ha. And just to watch your whole kingdom get razed to the ground and you to end up in some friggin' hole. But that's our business, you know? Like, they'll die to be right. There's so many people in our business that are so sick that don't see the big picture, you know? And that's the one thing with Maria. I just said to her, you know, this is why... I put the fail-safes into your career. And this is why I never wanted to see you give up. If you wanted to walk away because you're like, I'm fulfilled, that's different. But if you're walking away because you're tired and you're hurt and you can't take the pain anymore, no. That's not right. Mm-hmm. It's not right that your dream should be taken from you. You know, uh-uh. And so we've come through it, and now like there's 80,000 huge things going on while, you know, more and more of them, at least in that end of the business, are collapsing. But, yeah, goodbye to this agent and other people who are like him.
Okay.
See ya. Bye, Felicia. Okay.
How hip of you.
Yes, Roxy. Well, that's how, you know, I'm very hip. That's why the kids love me, Rox.
Do you want me to be praying for those people?
Yeah, sure.
Totally. Well, yeah, I mean, I just think it comes down to, for you, Rox, it's get more powerful.
Yeah,
just hang in. It sucks. It's, again, now it goes to movies, but Stallone, Rocky Balboa, you got to be willing to take the hits.
Yeah.
As long as you keep moving forward.
It's fine.
Listen,
it's fine.
It just stinks you have to go through it.
Spoken like a true woman.
But it stinks that you have to go through it. It should be that you don't get enough views on your videos. It should be that something objective. It shouldn't be those should not be the obstacles in your way, Rox. And it just is. But, you know, people even outside our business, inventors, creative, they all had this. They were all the underdog swimming against the tide. But you hang in. You gotta hang in and be mindful of, you know, building yourself up, getting more powerful so you basically can evolve beyond them, you know. And there's that saying, I think it was Gandhi, first, Rox, they what? First they ignore you, mm-hmm. Then what, kids? First they ignore you, then they?
Oh, is this the comfort?
Then they adore you?
Nope. Let's start from the beginning, kids. This is an important one. First,
just tell us what it is, though.
First, they no. It's there's many stages to this. First, they ignore you. Mm-hmm. Next, they laugh at you. Then they fight you.
And then they fear you.
Then you win.
And you win. I've never heard that, and also it doesn't resonate with me necessarily.
First they ignore you. You're out and about trying to break into the business. Oh, who's this like stupid little brat from Newton, Mass? Like whatever. Then they laugh at her. Oh, look, at she's trying to talk about movies. Oh, my God. What does she know about movies? Then it's, wait a second. Holy shit, she's building a following. Oh, let's destroy her. Let's knock her down. And then you hang in long enough, and then you go past them, and then you win. It's
Fun fact, Kev, that's not from Gandhi.
Who is it from?
It actually is not attributed to anyone. Nobody. There's no record of Gandhi saying it. So I think you can claim it.
Okay, great. Great. It'll be another Kevism.
I can't see Gandhi saying it.
He had said it, though. I know he had said it. I don't know if it was his.
They said that there's no record of him saying that.
Yeah, but if they're saying there's no record of him saying that, it's that because what people have attributed, someone attributed him. It wouldn't be in Google that in that way if there wasn't. We weren't all attributing it to him. So
I will say someone in the chat had a great nickname for you tonight, Kev.
What's it?
Kevin Under Guru.
I like Under Guru.
Under Guru.
It's very good. That's a good one.
Anyway,
you guys are probably wondering why I'm sitting next to this handsome devil.
Okay,
on the couch
so we've
here.
Got Jeff Graham, aka Jeff Scam. He is the he is our resident bachelor expert.
I am and Tomorrow Show fan. I've been on before, but you know I love the show.
All right, so let's take a little sidestep and Jeff, here's the thing. Update us on what is going on in Bachelor Nation before we start breaking down the right and wrong of this.
Okay. So for people who do not watch.
Yes, so I will do my best to give you the 2-minute but thorough rundown, and I want to make sure I'm being heard. Is it a little echoey stuff?
Yeah, cue in the news stuff.
Okay.
You're good.
Drop that news. Okay. So, if you have ever seen The Bachelor or not seen The Bachelor, we currently entered the new phase of the show, which is called Bachelor in Paradise. Do you know about this, Roxy?
Bachelor in Paradise is not where you're one person trying to get all the other gender people. It's where it's 50-50 and everybody's trying to hook up, and if you're not hooking up well enough, you get kicked off the island.
Most amount of puthay in the show.
It's much more MTV, I would say, that version of the show, but it's all starring Bachelor and Bachelorette alumni. So the main hot topic dude this season, the lightning rod, is a guy named Blake. He was the runner-up a season and a half ago.
On whose season? Caitlin's?
Becca Kufrin. He got second place. And he was like classic nice guy. Very like homegrown Midwestern. Tall, handsome. Everyone loved
him. Michael?
This is very Michael-esque.
His name was Blake.
Before the heel turn. But he had a very big heel turn apparently last year within the community of Bachelor people.
So not on air.
Not on air. This is all separate. So starting last August, he started dating Bachelor alumnus Christina Schulman, who had been on multiple iterations of the show. At the same time, come winter, around February, he started talking to Kaylin Miller Keys, who is also an alumnus of the show.
So dating Christina, talking to Kaylin.
Yes.
Blake,
correct. And all of this is kind of happening.
Does Kaylin know that he's dating Christina?
So this is what's tricky. This record we're getting is according to Kaylin. All of what I'm saying is via Kaylin's perception of the situation.
Kaylin, who thinks she's just casually hooking up with him.
Yeah, I think she thinks she's dating him they start talking in February. She doesn't know about Christina. Enter Stagecoach 2019, which is a notoriously popular destination for Bachelor alumni.
So now we're in April.
April, exactly. We're in April. If you guys don't know what Stagecoach is, it is sort of the country music version of Coachella. And a ton of Bachelor people go. It's a great Instagram opportunity. Huge crossover
Lots
section.
Lots of picture ops.
Yes, between
Insta-influencers. The best. This year.
What, this year? Oh, yeah, I just haven't posted them yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, you're really behind.
I'm so behind.
Still face-tuning.
I'll help you get a filter on those.
Yeah, I got a face-tune.
What color were the cowboy boots this year?
Oh, I didn't want to say. Can we save it?
Yeah, save it. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Stagecoach, night one, he sleeps with Christina.
Sex with? Okay.
Night two, he sleeps, sexes with Kaylin.
Fantastic.
How do we know this?
According to Kaylin. Okay. And this all seems to check out.
So Kaylin knows that he slept with Christina.
It came out later.
Oh.
Because the next morning, Blake is DMing Hannah G while in bed with Kaylin.
Who's that? Who's Hannah G?
Hannah G is sort of another crown jewel of the franchise.
Who's DMing, like flirting?
So apparently what he was saying in the DMs was talking about how beautiful Tayshia is, who's another member of the franchise.
He's trying to go three for three, Kev.
Why is he talking to Hannah G about Tayshia.
Hannah G and Tayshia are friends. It's not necessarily clear, but either way, it's a fourth cog in this confusing love square Love Hexagon.
I mean, if you're him and you want to womanize, just hit your DMs. All of America probably DMs him.
This is what Chad said to us.
Right.
Chad said to us on air, so I don't feel bad saying it. If you
Chad the Bachelor Chad.
Bachelor Chad, I DM tons of people, but I make sure they all have less than 10,000 followers.
Good for him.
Gotta do it.
He's smart, strategic with his DMs.
I love it.
I truly didn't know you could DM until 4 months ago, so that's where I'm at.
Okay.
But,
so where are we at now?
So, this is all kind of via Kaylin, via... So that's the story we're hearing.
But how did Kaylin find any of this out?
So it was told to her... Honestly, at this point, Christina found out, Kaylin found out. They kind of allied. So they're both anti-Blake at this point.
Okay, so neither of them are having sex with Blake anymore.
No.
Is Tayshia seeing Blake?
No, Tayshia's not really in the mix.
Okay.
Enter Paradise, which importantly taped 2 months ago, but is airing now. So let's say beginning of June.
Okay.
Is when all this is picking up with the story.
We're watching what happened in June.
Exactly. Yes.
However,
they're all in Sayulita, Mexico. Blake is there having fun. On the show, we see Kaylin show up.
Wait, so Kaylin, Christina, and Blake are all there.
So, Blake is there alone.
Okay.
Kaylin shows up on the beach after a day of Blake having fun, drinking. He sees Kaylin. He panics and runs away, afraid to talk to her.
Do we know why at this point?
No.
Okay.
We don't know why. And then it cuts to Kaylin starting to tell everyone, I don't want anyone to find out, but here's exactly what happened. Michael, I don't want anyone to find out, but just so you know
just
this,
so you
this,
know this.
Roxy,
yeah, yeah,
it's a secret, but just so you know this, slept with Christina. Kevin, you can't tell anyone, but just so you know. She's telling everyone, it's going around Paradise that Blake is a skeezy F-boy. Then Christina shows up, same exact thing, Blake runs away, he's panicked. So on last night's episode...
And Christina tells people too, or no?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
It's not super important, but it is for the story. Christina does actually pull Blake away for a one-on-one date and calls him out on it, just the two of them.
Why did she go on a date with him?
Because she wanted to call him out, purely to rip his ass apart.
Okay, but he agreed to the date.
He didn't know what it was for. He did agree for it, hoping maybe we're fine.
Yeah.
So... That was Christina's approach to calling Blake out. Kaylin's approach was much more aggressive. She calls him out in front of everyone and is like, let's go to the other palapa. Just so you guys know, these palapas are about 50 feet away.
What is a palapa?
A palapa, picture like a sort of like a tiki-esque hut, yes.
Okay.
So even though it's a private conversation, everyone can hear. Kaylin starts sobbing. You are a piece of crap. You ruined my life. You called me a mistake. I'm not even having a good time in Paradise because of everything you did. You ghosted me.
Did she not know he was going to be there?
I have a feeling she knew he was going to be there.
He did not know.
He certainly did not know she was going to be there.
But wouldn't he guess that one of the two of them would be there?
You'd think at this point, based on producers knowing all these things, he should have guessed.
Okay.
He's blindsided. He says, I had no idea about any of this. He starts sobbing on air. We see on TV, my life is going to be ruined. So as all this is happening in real time, last night at 9 p.m.
So not in real time, as all this is happening.
Pre-taped.
Okay.
But in real life, at 9 p.m. Pacific last night, as the show is airing, Blake starts releasing text messages, screenshots of text conversations on his Instagram story with Kaylin that are saying the complete opposite of everything Kaylin is saying in real time. Do we have those text messages to display?
Steph, we got those in the booth?
What do you mean?
No.
How could it be the opposite of what she was saying?
So, Kaylin is saying...
We have a funny meme, though, but I will try to find the text.
Yeah, So, explain, Jeff. Jeff showed me this today.
Yeah, Kaylin is saying, this mattered to me, this wasn't a casual relationship. Cut to the conversation over text where Kaylin is like, I'm this is at Stagecoach texting, I'm coming over right now in an Uber. Blake, okay, but all we have to do is cuddle, no sexy stuff. Then she says, no, just sex, only sex, no cuddling. He says, Kaylin, I don't want to be hooking up. And she says, no, I'm coming over for sex.
So great.
We have to find the text.
Never gonna happen to me in life.
So
yeah, you used to get those texts all the time.
Never did.
Yes.
Damn it.
He was into her and she just wanted sex.
That's what it feels like. I think they were probably into each other.
Listen,
but
there's enough there to gray this up, to make
take responded?
Him off the hook.
No, she's not responding.
She rushed out of a party last night when the text came out. She was at a party at
Here
Variety.
Here comes Con.
And it was like, peace.
So that's the first group of texts we get.
I found the text.
All right, Steph, read it.
Okay. Did it start with this, Jeff? I wanted to take the time to address what is being portrayed in the episodes. I made a lot of mistakes this past year that I'm not proud of. I know some people don't think this show is real, but it is. It is very real. Everybody handles heartbreak
differently. Here's what I'll say, Steph. Blake posted about 5 of these that are all how regretful he is the way he's being portrayed. These actually aren't the text, though, Steph, if you want to keep
searching. It's a
text. It's literally screenshots of text conversations are what you're looking for. Okay. So search Blake Kalen texts.
You got it.
That's the first group of texts he released on his story. The second group of texts he released on his story were the week before Paradise started filming. And Kalen is like, Blake, I'm freaking out. We have to keep this a secret. I'm not phrasing these exactly right, but basically the texts make it look like Kalen and Blake were complicit in wanting to keep this a secret. When Kalen comes to the beach, she's like, you wanted to keep this a secret. Why did you keep me down? Why did you call me a mistake? Whereas the conversation looks as if both of them were very regretful as to what happened. And what complicates all of this is Kalen has a bit of a shady history with the franchise. If you guys want to get into it,
yes,
I'm happy.
Yes, I do.
Of course. Okay.
So during Colton's season, have you guys heard of Colton Underwood?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
He's a virgin, right?
He's a virgin. Not anymore, presumably. Yeah. But Kalen was on his season, and she had a very contentious rivalry with Hannah B. Do you guys know the name Hannah B?
Yeah, because she's the current... She's the one who just left the
just
dude.
Wrapped,
yeah.
So Hannah B's season...
I found the
season,
text, so I'm going to start pulling them up, but continue
I'll continue, then we'll go back to text. But Hannah B has quickly become another star of the franchise, fan favorite. She's kind of this quirky southerner who seems to have traditional values, but is also like a very likable feminist. Very relatable. She's become a real hero
Michael
of the
Michael Klaus is shaking the head.
So annoying.
Michael's not a fan of women's rights, is that right?
That's, yes. Okay. That, obviously, that's where I was shaking my
Mike,
head.
You were shaking your head because what is she contradicting?
She doesn't believe that she has traditional values because
she says one thing and does another. It's like, oh, I'm a very Christian. By the way, I'm going to sleep with this guy 4 times in a windmill.
I think you're allowed to consider yourself a Christian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever, Roxy, from the Jewish person.
That's what people love her, though. She's kind of redefined what a modern Southern Christian girl is, right? She's kind of creating her own
in all the best ways.
Four, right, Mike? Four. Sorry.
Either way,
I can't with you, Kevin, when you do this. I can't.
But for that reason, Hannah's kind of become beloved because she's relatable.
Right.
She's traditional but also progressive. During Colton's season, which was before she was the star of the franchise, her and Kalen were butting heads the whole time. Hannah was saying, I think Kalen's kind of this, because they had grown up in the pageant world together.
Yeah, she thinks Kalen's kind of what?
Shady, goes behind people's backs.
So have they formed the alliance now?
So Hannah and Kalen, they don't get along. Yeah. But because Hannah has become a hero of this show and doesn't have good things to say about Kalen, everyone believes Hannah. So it was kind of interesting.
Okay, but I liked his rebuttal. Like, he also went out to explain why he put out the video, and he did it tearfully.
Oh, yeah, we have that. If that's not in the story, you can pull up my coverage.
I see, because you already went over the text, so we don't have to... We'll put the text somewhere, but you already covered the text. You abbreviated us on the text.
Yeah.
Stefan, find his video plea where he basically explains why he did this, but he did it.
I don't think we can play it.
Okay.
If you want, Steph, I think you'll be okay. I covered the story today on the Bachelor Reality Channel, and I just pulled his story.
On the AfterBuzz
Reality Channel. You can cue just that part.
So
I'll give a preface of it.
So just so you know, like, if you guys love this, we're dropping inside information on The Bachelor every single day. Bachelor News Daily on the AfterBuzz TV Reality Channel, Mike?
Mm-hmm. AfterBuzz TV Reality Channel. They're about 3 to 4 minute things every single day, nice and short for you to keep up with the latest Bachelor news, Bachelor gossip. Jeff Graham, obviously our Bachelor expert here at AfterBuzz.
And a lot of inside info.
Every single day.
And we've got people from the show DMing us and giving us inside information. Now, we also do this for 90 Day Fiancé and Big Brother. Rachel Swindler.
And soon starting Kardashians.
Wow, okay. But Rachel Swindler of Big Brother does the Big Brother one. So once again, we're getting you the most up-to-date, the most inside information on Big Brother. And then with 90 Day, because we've had such a great relationship with many of the contestants or the participants of that show
TTS
from the beginning.
TTS alum, Christy Reports.
So Christy Reports, Christy Olsen chairs that and hosts that. And we get a lot of all the inside dirt. So this is very exciting. So Jeff, you showed me his rebuttal. Steph, have you found it? I can abbreviate. If you don't find it, he's basically crying and saying he's sorry he had to do this.
This is on his story. So as he's releasing these texts, he's saying, I know this was a very intense move for me to release personal text conversations, but I'm being disparaged on air and for my reputation to be put in question.
And he's crying as he's doing it.
Caitlin and I needed to release these texts to show the true story, and it was a tough choice. And Caitlin, I don't want to put you in this position, but it was the choice I had to make.
Great reenactment, though.
Jeff, what do you think is actually happening
here? I don't have a hot take yet.
Really?
So on Monday, I'm thinking Blake has gone rogue. He's an F-boy. But I'm also like, I don't know if I trust Caitlin. I wish I could come with a conclusive. On my coverage today, I said, guys, I don't want to come out and say how I feel about this yet because it is so messy.
And not clear and not finished.
Because apparently a lot of the conversations were had over the phone. Like, in the text conversation, it's like, call me now. And Caitlin's saying, you told me I was a mistake over the phone. So that could be credible. It is so messy.
What do you think?
I think it's a little bit gray.
Yes.
And I think that he definitely kid in a candy store, got excited. But I think I don't know if he was a dog about it. He just was like, oh, you're going to come my way. I'll sleep with you and I'll sleep with you. Yeah. I don't know if he was.
I've slept with two people on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's more like that. And then I think that,
They're not in the same TV show, but.
Right, but I think that
these texts are real bad.
They don't look great for her, do they?
No.
Yeah, so.
Have you ever been more jealous of a single guy that he gets to sleep with hotties back-to-back nights and play the victim? This seems like
It's perfect. It's a layup. Yeah, we have to invite him. He'll be great at VictimCon.
VictimCon!
Yeah, he's got to be.
Yes. Why don't we bring him on the show?
I bet he would come on the show.
Let's get him.
Blake's a very interesting character because he kind of presented as this like nerdy theater kid who got jacked and grew to be 6'3", and now all of a sudden he can have anyone he wants. Like,
by
the
way,
the ultimate story.
Yeah, he's kind of like Michael.
But it's the worst because, those are the ones that have something to prove because they weren't getting
exactly.
It. Oh, Roxy points to Mike. Oh my God.
That's you, Michael.
Okay, listen, Jeff, where do we find you inside info on Bachelor, we want to give you.
Yeah, if you guys are into this stuff, I cover our weekly Bachelor in Paradise after show on Tuesdays. I've got a panel of amazing co-hosts. I love it because I'm their peers, but I'm also like a fan of all of them on the panel. It's so much fun to host with them. That's Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can catch us there. And I'm also doing our Bachelor Daily now, which has been so fun. So that goes up between noon and 4 p.m. every day on our
Bachelor
AfterBuzz.
News Daily. And then where do we find
this
you?
This week is a very important week to tune
in. It's crazy. I was telling Kev, reality TV is a whole new game because you can be watching something in real time that's actively refuted at the same time you're watching it.
It's
wild.
Higher.
It's so much fun.
So again, it's just speaking of more anxiety, even the employees in our business, Rocks, it's not enough. You used to be able to tape something 4 months ago and then put it out and yay. Now it's like, oh my God, we got to tape more. We have to be more up to date. We have to be, to stay ahead of it. It's a lot. All right. Hey, Stefan, can you take us out of orbit, please? I know we probably left out some news things, but we touched on the shootings and stuff.
As we go out of orbit, too, I want to give a shout out to a super chat that we got. Matthew Gold said, Method in the Madness was hilarious.
Oh, yay!
Madness in the Method. Sorry. Madness in the Method was hilarious. Roxy is on the way up.
Yeah, and Roxy, do you know what? Couldn't find it anywhere.
It's everywhere.
I tried Amazon. I tried VOD.
It's all over on demand. It's everywhere.
Kev.
I know. I'm losing. Even Maria says this.
You're a millennial Googler.
No, but Maria goes, I'm losing my touch on the remote. My one superpower.
No, but you didn't want to leave the house.
I didn't want to leave the house. Roxy, I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
I felt bad that I didn't go to the premiere of this. And, a lot of times I don't partake in your reindeer games. But for reasons you probably don't know.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll tell you. Sometimes I'm not. You're going to be weirded out by this. I was thinking of this today because I feel bad. Like I always want to be there to support you on your scams. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes you don't want Dad there.
Well, first of all, I don't know where you're getting that from.
I
always want you there. But I know you hate these things.
Not when it's an achievement like that, then no, I want to be there for you. But I thought that, sometimes, like, listen, you guys go out and you have your fun and you do your things, and sometimes you don't want pup there.
It was not one of those.
You don't want the dead mother there.
Can I give a quick shout out? It was really cool.
Please.
Is that when Steph and I went to it, first of all, just like unbelievable. I'm at Universal City Walk and just dying inside because like the coolest thing I've ever seen that I'm watching myself in a movie there. And then they wrap, they go to the Q&A, they lift the lights, and you know who I see sitting in the corner in a completely different row, had not let me know that he was going, no word, is another TTS alum, Christian Blatt.
God, oh, cool.
And he just was like, yeah, of course. I saw
came
that you posted
it.
It was like
came to
an
see
obvious
it.
Good man.
It was just so...
That's Christian, though.
So sweet and so cool. And especially on a day where I was honestly, I like gotten two massive fights with two of my friends because they were just like literally being the least supportive. Sorry, we got too fucked up to come situation.
They just don't get it.
And I was just... 10 years. This week, I've been in Los Angeles for 10 years. Ten years.
I'll tell you,
it's a long time to be working to be in a movie.
We grow more narcissistic every day as a community. But I remember even when I first got out here, my mentors would say to me, listen, this city makes you so selfish.
Yeah. Mm.
It just makes you so lame, so selfish. You don't show up for anyone or anything. And my friend, you know, he was a New Yorker, and he would... he'd fight against it. So he'd force himself to do those things. And, Rox.
These were two East Coast people.
But we've talked about this, too. East Coast, West Coast. When you had your little, you know, emotional trauma.
Where was everybody?
Yeah, it's like, I just think your generation, it's all that, like, and that's what bothers me. It just bothers me it's probably a generation, it's probably, but just an American thing. But yeah, everyone is so, you know, up in arms and so full of moral outrage.
Yeah.
But then when it comes down to, you know, really being there, you know, where are they? Where are all these
literally
people?
What do you want from us? We got too drunk and we were puking. What are you expecting? What do you want us to do?
Like, be an adult, maybe not black out. What the fuck?
I mean...
my friends are 30.
Well, we talked about
they're 30
that.
Years old.
Peter Pan. Everybody.
And working on getting pregnant. That's... I don't understand what I could have done.
Yeah,
it's
no,
out of my
I just...
hands. Just not in my control.
I see so much of it.
You're not even listing the one excuse that was, like, the worst rocks.
What was the one excuse?
About the drugs.
Oh, yeah, because she's... One of my friends who's trying to get pregnant, their doctor said, no more coke while you're trying to get pregnant.
Oh, no.
Why even have kids?
So she was like, I mean, I obviously can't rally because I can't do drugs, so how do you expect me to go out in the daytime and the night?
Exactly. I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying, Stefan.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now it makes sense.
I can't even do cocaine.
What a swerve.
Actual text message.
Actual.
Can I use that for work, Kev? Kev, I can't do cocaine. How can I?
How am I supposed to do the day
right. Why not the old regime
night?
Working here did? What?
Yeah, it was a whole... I was like, good point. Wow. Yeah, you're off the hook now.
Yeah, Rox was like, no, seriously, you're right. Me working 10 years in my ass off.
And showing up for everybody.
Literally.
Because here's the thing, Roxy is the type that effortlessly has as many friends as there are grains of sand on the beach. Another Bible quote, Michael. Okay.
And just deserved.
But here's the thing. I know there's a few people in life who have that ability. And don't have to invest anything.
It's super
Roxy's
not effortless.
One of them. No, it's effortless, but you do put the effort in because you have this charisma where everyone's just attracted to you. And I bet you had it. I know you had it when you were a little kid. It's just like sometimes I'd see the little kid that everyone kind of follows. That was Roxy. But you're the only one that has that superpower and doesn't take it for granted and actually gives back.
But without the drugs, Kev, what do you want
well,
from me?
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm sorry. This is the one time you're wrong. I'm with them. I'm team these two.
I'm honestly with them, too.
And now, and by the way, this is the part of me you hate, which is the part that writes, you know, Tex Watson.
Yeah.
I sent him a beautiful letter, you guys, asking about what he thinks of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if his kids have broken it down for him, is he allowed to get a copy in prison? I defended him at a party, I told him, which I did. And it's very exciting. But the same side of me that loves, that sees Tex as so bad that he's good... It's the same with your friends. I want to become their friends now.
Yeah.
They seem amazing. I love their logic. They seem like they're so much fun.
Kev, the parallel you just drew is actually top contender of most obscure parallels you've ever drawn.
Yeah. Why? Well, I'm a pen pal with Tex Watson, and now I want to make these two my new best friends. I want to make them my best friends. They seem like, wait, what if this doesn't make you think that these people aren't so much fun? Am I the only one?
And accomplished.
I just want to do coke and get pregnant and
No, you can't do both those. That's the point, Ken.
That's the problem. And no, but I love that they recognize it's a problem.
It's a problem.
I love these two. Good. I cannot wait to shut the mics off and find out more about them. And I'm hoping, and you know, Rox, if you let me, I will become the amazing besties with them.
Yeah.
So once again, we've learned less than nothing. We've not profited in any way, shape, or form. At least I don't think so.
Hey, Rox, can you make sure that when they get pregnant, they get Instagrams for their babies?
Oh, obviously.
Duh. We learned that in the womb, you open the baby's Instagram account. It's at what's yours, Jeff?
Twitter, Jeffrey C. Graham. Instagram, Jeffrey Crane Graham.
Even the name's amazing.
So going.
Jeffrey
going.
He's such a wasp.
I embrace it.
It is amazing. Yeah. We might have to bring in Jeffrey Crane Graham. We might have to bring that in your Bachelor.
I think that would be good.
Right? Yeah. It's
There's
such
a lot of Jeff
name.
Grahams. It's the only way I can...
No, Jeffrey Crane Graham.
It's guys, my mother's maiden name.
I love it.
Yes.
It's at the only MC. It's at Steph Sabra. It's at Roxy Stryer. At Undergaro, at the Tomorrow Show, and you know, hopefully next week we'll be in the new woke studios. Although I really liked Roxy, you don't like. I feel like we should be staying here.
Do you?
This
feel
just
that?
Feels right.
Is it you that feels that way?
Am I the only one?
No, no.
I feel.
Oh, Maria feels that way.
I just want to make sure to subscribe. Like, comment, review.
Yeah.
Spread the word, spread the love.
Yeah, you know
we're
what?
Kicked out.
Yeah, you're right. Let's. Can you tell a friend about us if you like us? And if you're on iTunes, give us a rating. Or go over to iTunes and rate us. And then, yeah, leave some comments and things like that.
Even if you don't like us, tell a friend. You know, there's no bad thing as bad publicity,
that's
right?
That's true. And and going into this weekend, if you're running out of content, Sam always delivers. So this Friday, I wonder what his... last week he went over Tarantino and he gave us some great inside information on Tarantino and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I wonder this week might be elections or shootings. I wonder what he'll go into, but he goes deep and I highly recommend it. And I guess that's it, you guys. And I do like it here, but maybe maybe I've been brainwashed into liking it here because I just, I like it here. I don't know. I like sitting next to you, Rox. Yeah, but I like sitting next to you. This is better than being on the...
This is not better, Kev.
All right.
This is absolutely, without a doubt, not better.
Really? Oh, my God. Guys.
Kevin, this studio is amazing for after-show panel discussion. It's the best in the world.
It's not the ship, though.
Oh, my God, Kev. I mean, what's happening inside?
Kev, I don't know.
Kev, you don't just keep the Ferrari parked in the garage. Yeah. You got to take it out.
All right. Well, like I said, it's...
Even though the Ferrari has lemons now hanging
the Ferrari is
yellow,
now
it's
more...
It's a yellow Ferrari with
I don't know what we would call
seats.
It now. But yeah, it's the new woke studios. Okay, you guys. Until then, everybody, please do your best to make it better tomorrow.
Bitches.
Tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show. I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.